Morning.
It is good to see each of you here this Lord's Day. Today marks the beginning of a new series of lessons, and John and I have been praying about where we're going with our lesson text next, and so we're really excited about this. And so today, we don't know how many weeks it'll be, but we're going to look at lessons from Israel. We believe that this will be a very profitable study for us. So this morning, as we begin this series, I've got clicker issues. So as we begin this series of lessons, we just ask you to be praying for us as well as we look at the material and as we go about presenting it and stuff. So this will be a theme for us for quite a while. Can you just go to the next slide for me? Okay. So, back one. So, why should we study and learn about Israel? That's the big question this morning. Why is this important? I mean, why should we spend several weeks on this material? I believe we can look at text in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. I don't know what's going on in everyone's life here. Hopefully everyone's being just unbelievably blessed right now and you're not struggling. But I know the truth of the matter is that we struggle at times. Things are not what we think they ought to be. We're challenged sometimes physically with physical health issues. Sometimes we may have emotional things we're dealing with, things that are pressing on us. Maybe you have the needs of someone in your heart right now. And I believe there's an important thing for us as believers to tap into God's Word, because Romans promise us that in doing that, we might find hope. So it's very important for us to sort of know who our spiritual ancestors are. And Israel is our spiritual ancestor. And you need to know your family tree. You really need to know your family stories, because you're a product of that. We're all a product of family. As John pointed out, that God intended to have family. That's why God created us. And He's called us to be a part of that family. No one here knows this person, I don't think. Maybe even recognizes this person. But I will say, to some degree, she's influenced Netherland Church of Christ. She was born in 1901. Okay. She died in 1962. She died 55 years ago. In fact, she died before I was born. She died a year before I was born. Her name is Essie Avo Jernigan Loftus. She's my grandmother, my father's mother. And while I never knew her, she made decisions in her life that profoundly impacted my family and, in extension, affected Northern Church of Christ. You see, she had a hard life. In 1934, her husband was shot and killed. He was a deputy sheriff in Putnam County, and he was shot and killed. She was 33 years old. She had four children, the oldest of which was 7, and the youngest was 6 months old. And didn't have a lot of resources to start with. And that put them into poverty, basically. And they struggled. Major DeBerry used to grow a big field of turnips and peas in Double Springs, and that was for the poor people to go eat off of in the fall and winter time. And as I heard it said, it had not been for Major DeBerry's field of peas and turnips, they would have probably starved. It was hard. But somehow she came to know the Lord. And she became a member of his church. In fact, living her entire life as a widow, she instilled faith in her family. Even though my mother grew up in Christian homes, she didn't know the Lord's church. And it was my grandmother, Granny Avo, who taught her the gospel. And my mother became a member of the Lord's church. And maybe in some respects, she taught my mother how to be without a husband, because my mother would lose her husband when she was in her 30s with 5 kids. But Granny Avo remained faithful. In fact, when it became a hardship for them to go from Double Springs over to Mac Beam's Chapel to the church, they decided to establish a church there in Double Springs, and Granny Avo, as a widow, was one of the charter members of that congregation. We're going to Teens for Christ there next week. That congregation's still there. And she stayed faithful. And she's established a history, a legacy in my family. I'd say part of the reason that you have me as a preacher today is because of her. And by extension, because she's Casey's great-grandmother, you got John here today as an associate minister because of her, someone who you did not know and never knew existed. But the fruit of her faithfulness is felt here in her brother's elder church in South Carolina, throughout the country. You see, it's important for us to know where we came from. And many of you had similar stories. You have people in your family tree who were the sort of the spiritual giants. That they made decisions, they did things that are why you're here today. And so Israel is our spiritual ancestor. It's not just a bunch of stories about some Jewish folks. There are people. And as Paul said, us studying our people may allow us to have hope today. And so as we begin looking at this, God has been at work to create his family. And Israel's a big part of this story. We have to understand for thousands of years, Israel was a big part of this story. In fact, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God promised this to Abraham, and Israel would be established through Abraham's promise, Abraham's covenant. God would establish Israel. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God loved Israel. He made Israel his own special people. God made them his. He form them. God chose Israel. And what's interesting, and it's been a struggle, even since the time of Jacob. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau, Isaac's boys, and how they struggled? And finally, Jacob deceived his brother for his birthright, and fears for his life, so he goes away and leaves his brother and goes into his uncle's family far away and winds up marrying one of his uncle's daughters, and it's time to come back home. And he's headed back home, and the night before he's to meet his brother, he comes upon a little creek called Jabbok. And there he would wrestle with God. And at that point in time, they fought all night. And God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And Israel means one who fights victoriously with God. Even though God chose Israel, Israel has fought with God, struggled against it. Even the chosen people sometimes don't act too chosen. They act willful. They do not always follow God as they should. They get distracted. They begin pursuing other things. It's hard for them when their faithfulness, and it's a lot like our own stories, isn't it? Don't you sometimes struggle in your own faithfulness toward God? Even though that you're chosen, sometimes you don't feel so special. You don't feel so chosen. And so this becomes our story. Israel is us, and we're Israel. And God chose Israel not because she was special, not because these people were significant. In fact, God chose Israel in spite of their insignificance. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 7, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you the least of all the peoples." God didn't choose a big, huge nation to bless. He chose a bunch of insignificant people to bless. God says, it wasn't because you're mighty. It wasn't because you're big. I just chose you and made you my own, a holy people. Maybe in 2017, this is an important story for us because, you know, at one time, being a Christian was a pretty easy thing to do in our culture, wasn't it? So I'm like, didn't have any problems with that. But in my lifetime, it's become less popular to be a Christian. It's more of a struggle. And sometimes we may feel like, you know, everything's turning against us. We're insignificant. We're small. But that's the story of God's people, isn't it? In fact, Israel did not make herself important. In fact, God did. There's a passage in Ezekiel, and I'm not going to read all of it, but just to put it in context to describe how God perceived Israel, especially her nation, Jerusalem, I mean the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, in Ezekiel. In fact, he describes them as an abandoned baby, not an abandoned child, but an abandoned newborn that had been left out in the field to die from exposure. In fact, no one pitied you to do any of these things for you, about washing the body and you know, and taking care of it, to have compassion on you. But we throw an open field, and when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born, and I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said in your blood, live! Yes, I said to your blood, live! I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful. God said, no one wanted you. You weren't special. And I chose you. Not because of your strength, not because of your power, not because of your might. I just chose you. It's important for us to know that that's our heritage. That God chose us to be His people. What God wanted from Israel is very simple. Very simple. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord to God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This is the great Shema, the name. The Lord your God is one. And the Lord wants you to love Him with all you got. Pretty simple. Now, there are specific commands. Not pretend like they don't exist. But God's calling them to love Him. He loved her. Israel's to love God back. In fact, Jesus, when He was on earth, was asked by a person, "What's the greatest command, Rabbi?" What does Jesus say? It's Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And by the way, this next commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things hang all the law and prophets. Everything that God was up to can be summarized in this. So God had a very simple plan. This morning, what I want you to hear, and this is sort of the foundation for all this, is that God chose you. God chose you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That passage is about you and me. God chose you. Out of his great love for us, God chose you. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace, you have been saved. Over the series, John and I will be talking about all these different events in the history of Israel. And we have a lot to cover. A lot of stories. Some will be familiar with, some may be new to you, or new perspectives on them presented to you. But God was at work. When man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it broke the relationship that God wanted with man. We've been studying in the book and some of our lessons and referenced the book of Genesis, how God was in the garden with Adam and Eve and that God wants us to be with him. But it was God's love for us, it was God's mercy for us that prompted us, Israel, to be established and then us to be established as part of the spiritual Israel today. And this is God being at work. And God chose us. Ephesians chapter 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off and brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, God was at work through Jesus to make us all part of the family of God. That through Jesus, we have access to the spiritual legacy that is known as Israel and all the promises that God has for us. A Spanish philosopher, poet, writer, George Santayana, said this: those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. It's been somewhat paraphrased, and those who do not know history are condemned to repeat it. But it refers specifically to the past. Israel as a nation did not stay faithful to God. Israel as a people lost their identity. In fact, as we tell the story of Israel, and you know that, you know, they wind up in Egypt, and God brings them out of Egypt, and God will take them to the promised land. And when they get in the promised land, it's not like our ancestors who had to fight with the wilderness and carve out a home. I remember my grandfather telling me a story of his family, and they bought some land down in the 8th District of Putnam County, and it was heavily forested, and they had to cut trees. It took them 10 years to clear 10 acres of tillable ground. In the process, they lost a son a tree fell on when they're clearing the land. Israel didn't have that experience. When they came into the promised land, the previous inhabitants had built houses. They built walled cities. They had vineyards. They had dug wells. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, and God allowed them to move in. And they were richly blessed. But yet they did not remain faithful to God. They began taking pieces of the culture from around them and began following their practices and living like the people who lived around them lived. And Israel lost their love for God. She lost her faithfulness. And before we know it, God says, "You're not mine anymore. You've left me time and time again." And at one point in time, God would step into history and take the best and brightest out of Israel and put them into captivity for 70 years. And they allowed some of them to go back and rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And again, those descendants didn't stay faithful. You see, there's a challenge for the church today. If we're not real careful, we'll repeat Israel's problems. When we become too much like the culture around us, we stop losing our identity as God's people. That God does not become the sole source of our devotion, of our adoration. So why do we need to study lessons from the land of lessons from Israel? It's because we don't want to repeat her mistakes. We want to remain faithful to God. If you're here this morning, we invite you on a spiritual journey. If you never confessed Jesus as your Savior, never been buried with Him in baptism, we encourage you this morning to change that. Before this assembly, confess Jesus as your Savior. Be buried with Him in baptism. Perhaps this morning there may be a need that you have. Maybe you can identify with not feeling special. Maybe you can identify with feeling abandoned and not loved. But you know, let me tell you this morning that God has chosen you to love you, to bless you, and for you to be His child, and for us to be His people. Brother Chris announced the song of invitation this morning. If you're subject, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of prayer?